there is a fellowship afterwards, correct? Celebrating the dedication and Kaya's birthday. So afterwards, be sure to come up and give them thank or just whatever you do at these things. This is kind of new to me too, guys. So, all right. Thank you, guys. Thank you. I told Michelle when she asked me to do this, I said, it's a privilege and an honor, but you know I've never done this before. I always just stand up here with Steve. I don't ever do anything. So thank you very much for allowing me to do that. All right, so this morning, this is something new. Usually, you know, I try to just listen to what God has to say and then share what's on his heart. And this morning I felt like he said, well, you can pick what you want to speak about. And so I was like, I don't like that. I don't like when God tells me I can pick or like allows me to, I just would rather him tell me and then I do it. It works better that way usually for me, but I kind of feel like God's up to something and wanting me to discover myself. And what do I like? What do I want? What do I desire? Because I don't know the answer to any of those things. So I'm going to speak about what I spoke about at camp, and I'm going to tie in some other things. And, you know, the last like month here in the body of Eastgate, when we've been in worship, I really felt like God's like heart has been about choosing life. And if you guys, I don't know if you remember that service where Linnea was just crazy, like going after things, and she kept saying, choose life, choose life, choose life. And I could just really sense, like, it's almost like Eastgate, the place where we choose life, right? Like it's a beautiful thing. And then today, it's your breath in our lungs. It's your breath in our lungs. It's because sometimes in life when things happen, right, and we experience loss, or we experience tragedies, or we experience hardships, like sometimes it would be easier just to lay down and quit and stop, right? But it's when you willingly choose life that something begins to happen. And I believe that because of the things that the body of Eastgate has been through, and we have purposefully chosen life, that people are going to be able to come here and there is going to be a well of life, that they're going to be able to come and they're going to be able to drink of it because of things that we have been through and because of the things that we've experienced, and we have chosen not to quit. And we have chosen life. And so, yeah, that's good. Ha, come on. That is good because God is good. And his purpose and his destiny and his heart is so for us and not against us. So, all right. So I'm going to be in Genesis chapter 1. And I spoke about this at camp, and it just stirred something in me. And so I want to take you guys on this little journey with something we've always heard or maybe we've all heard. But God really showed me something in this. So if you're in Genesis chapter 1, I want to focus on just a few key things. And it says, God spoke light, and the light appeared. And God saw that light was good. Okay? Then God spoke sky, and in the middle of the waters, separate water from water, God made sky. He separated the water under the sky and from the water above the sky. And there it was. He named sky the heavens, and was evening and morning. Day 2. God spoke, okay? Separate. Water beneath heaven gather into one place and land appear. And there it was, and God named the land earth, and he named the pooled water ocean. And God saw that it was good. Then God spoke. Earth, green up. Grow all varieties of seed-bearing plants, every sort of fruit-bearing tree. And there it was. Earth produced green plants and varieties. And God saw that it was good. Day 3, God spoke, lights come out, shine in heaven's skies, separate day from night. So then day four, God spoke. Swarm, ocean with fish and all sea life. Birds fly through the sky over earth. And God created the huge whales, all the swarms of life in the waters, and every kind of species. Day five, God spoke. Earth, generate life, every sort and kind. And God saw that it was good. Then God spoke. Let us make human beings in our image. Make them reflecting our nature so they can be responsible for the fish in the air and all of the things that I have created. So, all right. In all of this, God spoke. He spoke the world into existence. He spoke the sun. He spoke the moon. He spoke the earth. He spoke all of these things. Then he turns to Jesus and the Holy Spirit, and he says, hey, I got this great idea. Let's form man. I've created all of this incredible world, and now let's fill it. I want to fill it. I created this, and I want to share this creation with someone that is made in my image. All right? So he says, let us form them in our image and reflecting our nature. Then I want to go to chapter 2. I'm in the Message, by the way. And it says down for verse 5 through 7. At that time, God had made earth and heaven before any grass or shrubs. God hadn't yet sent rain on the earth, nor was there anyone around to work the ground. God said, hey, let's form man in our image. Let's make man in our image. Then it says, God formed man out of dirt from the ground. Now, here's the thing that I really saw. Like, why didn't God just speak man into existence? That's how he had done creation. He just spoke the sun. He spoke those things. So why not just continue in that order and in that fashion? Why not just speak man into being? Because he sure could have done it that way. He sure could have just said, man, be alive, or man, be created, and it would have happened. But here's what I felt like God was saying. When you form something, it takes your hands, it takes your creativity, it takes you invested in what you're forming. Okay? So God didn't want to just speak. He didn't want to just be far away and speak us into existence, but rather he said, I want to take and invest everything that I have into my creation. I'm forming them in my image, so I'm going to take my very hands, and he dug, and he formed man out of clay. So, right, the enemy has tried everything he can to convince us that God is a faraway God, that he is someone that is just up there in the sky, doesn't care what we're going through, doesn't care what we're doing. But I'm telling you, from the very beginning, he formed us with his own hands. That does not represent a God that doesn't want to be involved. He so wants to be involved. He formed us with his hands. And then he didn't even choose to speak after he formed man. Listen to this. He could have said, okay, so now he was kind of invested and he formed man with his hands. And he could have said, now be alive. But that wasn't close enough. Here's what God did. It says, he formed man out of dirt from the ground and blew into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man came alive. So God got so close to Adam. Look, your nostrils are not very big, right? So God got in Adam's face with his breath and blew it into his nostrils, and he came alive. That's the kind of God we serve. That's the kind of God that we get to experience. That's the kind of God who is so, wants to be so close and so involved in our life that he didn't just speak us like he did everything else. He got so close. He got so close that he put I just picture his mouth over Adam's, like CPR kind of thing, you know? That's just what I picture. Whether that's right or wrong, whatever, but that's just what I picture. And just the breath of life, the very breath of God is life. The very breath of God is where there is life. That's where life is. And so, yeah. And in worship this morning, it was good because it was like there was, I was just started singing, we receive your breath, God. We receive your breath of life. And all of the dead places and all the dormant places, all of the places where there's not life, that God would just begin to breathe his breath again. Not actually that we would be awakened to it, because he's constantly breathing, honestly. So I want to go from here to 2 Samuel 22, because I want you guys to see, I want you to see how incredibly involved God really is. Because I really feel like there is something that lately, I don't know, just like God is just not involved, or he just doesn't really care. And like, there's just this lie of the enemy. So 2 Samuel chapter 22, right? So God created man, sin entered, all of these things happened, right? We chose to live in our own right, in our own mind, and in our own understanding. And so sin entered, and so from that moment on, then God was restoring and coming up with an idea to restore our relationship with God, to restore that closeness and that desire. His desire is for us to be like it was before sin, honestly. That's his desire. His desire is for you and I to have relationship with him like it was in the Garden of Eden. And we can't wrap our heads around that because we've grown up in this. And we can't fathom the closeness and the intimacy that God desires with you and I because of all of our own stuff. So I want to show you some more about how involved God wants to be. So David is saying, God is the bedrock under my feet, the castle in which I live, my rescuing light, my God, where I run for dear life, hiding behind boulders, safe in the granite. My mountain refuge. He saves me from ruthless men. I sing to God the praise lofty. I find myself safe and saved. The waves of death crashed over me, and devil waters rushed over me, and hell's ropes cinched me tight. Death traps barred every exit, a hostile world. I called to God, to my God I cried out, and from his place he heard my call, and my cry brought me right into his presence, a private audience. Right into his presence, a private audience. So no matter what's going on around you, no matter what you're going through, this is who God is. This is who he is. He's involved. He's invested. He has poured everything out for you and I. He held nothing back in wanting to restore relationship with you and I. Earth wobbled and lurched. The heavens shook like leaves, quaked like aspen leaves because of his rage. His nostrils flared, billowing smoke. His mouth spit fire. Tongues of fire darted in and out. And he lowered the sky. He stepped down. Under his feet, an abyss opened up. He rode a winged creature, swift on wind wings. He wrapped himself in a trench coat of black rain, but his cloud brightness burst through, a grand comet of fireworks. Then God thundered out of heaven. The high God gave a great shout. God shot his arrows in pandemonium. He hurled his lightnings around. The secret sources of oceans were exposed, and the hidden depths of earth lay uncovered. The moment God roared in protest, let loose his hurricane anger. But he caught me. He reached all the way from sky to sea. He pulled me out of the ocean of hate, that enemy chaos, the void in which I was drowning. And they hit me when I was down, but God stuck by me. Hear that. He stood me up on a wide open field. I stood there saved, surprised to be loved. Does that sound like a God that just doesn't want to be involved? No. He caught me. He reached all the way from sky to sea. He pulled me out of that ocean of hate, that enemy chaos, the void in which I was drowning. And he's saying, but stuff kept hitting me. It just kept coming. Oh, man, it just kept coming. But God, what did God do? God stuck by me, and he stood me up on a wide open field, and I stood there saved, surprised to be loved. All of this stuff kept coming, but God stuck by him. And that's what he does with you and I. He sticks by us. And he'll stand us up. He'll stand us up in the midst of all of that. And I desire that. I desire to be surprised to be loved. I desire to know God and to know him more and to find myself surprised that he could even love me. And so this morning, I just wanted to encourage you that God is a God who is involved. God is a God who desires to be invested in your life. He's invested. He already is invested. He already gave everything that he had. There is nothing more. He gave everything. And so it's you and I choosing to allow him to be that for us, because he's already done it. He's already invested. He's so incredibly sold out for you and I that he couldn't even be more invested if he wanted to be. Seriously, like he just gave everything he had. And it's a beautiful thing because we can be in relationship with God. And it's all through Jesus Christ, and it's all through what Jesus did on the cross for you and I. And it really... It really is. It's just an incredible thing to think about. And so this morning, I want to challenge you, if you've never received Christ, if you've never received the gift of God through Jesus Christ, his son, don't wait. Just do it. Like, seriously, it's the most incredible thing. I can't tell you that it'll be easy. I can't tell you that you won't have things that happen, but there is something when you receive Jesus and you say and you recognize your need for him. You recognize that I in myself cannot save myself. I in myself do not have that ability. I do not have that. But what I can do is I can allow God to lift me up and stand me on a field, and I can be surprised to be loved. He does it all. He does it all. And so he's so good, you guys. He's so good. He's so good. He's so good. And even in the midst of hardships, he's still good. He's still good. And so if anything, you get anything out of this message this morning, I just pray that you're encouraged and that... Just life. Choose life. Choose life. And in Christ and in God is the only place there is life. That's it. He's the only life giver. He's the only life sustainer. You won't find it anywhere else. It's him and him alone. And he desires to breathe it into you and into me. Because he's just that good. So we can continue existing, we can continue to just exist, or we can choose to live. There is a difference. There is a difference. Because before Christ, before I gave my heart to him, I was existing, I wasn't living. And see, Eastgate, we could just be existing, we could just decided to just exist, but I'm telling you, we've chosen life. We have chosen life, and we desire the breath of God and the presence of God, and some people may not always understand it, and they may not understand it, but that's okay, because it's the breath of God that gives life, and it's the presence of God where life is found, and it's only in that place will there be change, and it's only in that place where we have influence, where we have the ability to make a difference. So we're going after the presence of God. And the breath of God and the life of God and all of that God has for us. And all of the darkness cannot drown out a single word. And that's what I heard that this morning. it cannot drown out every prophetic word, and this is hard for me to say, every prophetic word that we have had over us as a body, I just declare that it will not be drowned out. It will not be drowned out. It may look a little different than we thought. Right? It's going to look a little different than we thought. But it's okay. It's still a prophetic word. And it's life. So, all right. Well, I'm going to pray. And do you want me to bless the food? And then we can... Kaya should get to eat first because it's her birthday. She's like, don't do that to me. All right. Well, I want to thank you guys for being here and celebrating Adam.